And now I want you to turn in your Bibles today to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3. In the third chapter of this wonderful account of the Gospel story, we are introduced to a man of destiny, a man by the name of John the Baptizer, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a very unusual man, as we're going to see, as we meditate together upon the first six verses of Luke chapter 3. Before we read them, I want you to pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the written word, for the word that is forever settled in the heavens, for the word that can never be broken, for the word that is alive and powerful and sharper than a sword with two edges. May that word pierce our hearts deeply today and bring each of us to that place of dedicated service for Thee, for those who need to make public confirmation of their faith, for those who need to unite with the church, for those who need to come and trust Christ, or those who may need to come and offer a prayer of dedication in their own lives. May they do so at the end of this message and in the time of invitation. And now we pray for the reading of Thy word and for the proclamation of the gospel. May it ream without our hearts the sin that is within. May it disturb us. May it arouse us. May it awaken us in these days of disturbing and distraught times. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." As we were driving out of Pasadena and to the airport in Houston last Monday morning, I noticed a vast expanse of land that had been turned over. Huge pillars had been sunk into the ground in preparation for a superhighway to connect those two cities. Now, the driver of the car, a local pastor, pointed out to me this used to be the main sector of downtown Pasadena, Texas. I swallowed about twice and I said, "You don't mean it." "Yes," he said, "a lot of people have had to move out." He pointed to one business that remained. But all of the businesses along that sector had moved out because the highway department had come in to build a super highway to connect Pasadena and Houston. There had been a whole lot of commotion. He said to me, a lot of the business owners didn't want to move. A lot of the people who lived in the community did not want their neighborhood disturbed. But the highway is going in just the same. And then I thought, there is a passage of scripture in the Bible that talks about building a highway for God. And I thought again that any time that God builds a highway, it's going to disrupt some people. It's going to move some people out. It's going to cause a lot of commotion. My text introduces us to God's superintendent for highway construction. This man was no ordinary man. In fact, to put it mildly, he was a very extraordinary man. He had an unusual diet. In one fist was honey and in the other fist was locusts. He had an unusual dress. In my mind's eye, I can see him coming out of the wilderness of Judea, covered in camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. Unusual dress. And he was a man of unusual decorum. You know what he called his generation? A generation of snakes. I encourage my young preacher boys not to do too much of that snake biting. It cost John his head. John the Baptist was the biggest sensation in 400 years. John the Baptist was no mild-mannered preacher standing before a mild-mannered congregation, using mild-mannered sentences to get his people to become more mild-mannered than they already were mild-mannered. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think a man ought to have some decorum in the pulpit, and I think he ought to be mannered. But, beloved, there comes the time when a John the Baptist must be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. His was the voice that said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Build a highway for God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There was no rose water sprinkled in John the Baptist's message. He was no pacifier. There were no sugar tits handed out either. And no one took a blue pencil and marked out of John's outline what might cause someone to be offended. John didn't send his message off up to Jerusalem to let some little swivel chair hierarchy, ecclesiastical hierarchy, review his sermon either, that couldn't preach a lick in the road if he had to. John the Baptist was a man sent from God. And a man sent from God has got a message. And whether the people take to it or take from it, John preaches the message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, I've been preaching long, but I've had two or three occasions when people, can you believe this? People have tried to tell me how to preach. What I ought to preach. I got my orders a long time ago from God. And out of the book. And here it is. And I must be in the same tone as John the Baptist to put the axe to the tree and let the chips fall where they may. What did you go out for to see? Jesus asked. A reed shaken in the wind? When you went out to hear John the Baptist, Jesus said you heard a man who was fearless. A man who broke the silence of 400 years. The biggest sensation in 400 years. Well, everybody didn't like John, but he sure got a whole lot of people to come to hear him. The Bible says they came from all over Jerusalem and all over Judea and the country round about Jordan to hear the message of the fearless prophet, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Beloved, if I know anything of the religious heartbeat and pulse of our nation today, we need another John the Baptist. We've got the wilderness. All we need is John. My message today is simply building a highway for God. And I want you to note first that to build God's highway is absolutely expedient. That's just another way of saying that it is very necessary to build a highway for God. And I offer this reason for that statement, that it is expedient that we build a highway for God. Here it is. We need to build a highway for God because in our great country, we have put God on detour. You know, you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden it says detour, a side road. That's where God is in America today. We've detoured him out of the national life. The Supreme Court has ruled prayer out of the... Oh, I know somebody's going to say, but we pray in our schools, but you just wait till some little pin-headed atheist pops up and goes home and tells his mother and daddy that you're praying or you're reading the scripture, and there'll be a trial about it and they'll be thrown out too. I offer this. I believe that the Supreme Court is doing more to ruin our country than any other organization that we have in government or out of government. And I'm just throwing that in. We need a John the Baptist on the scene. We have detoured God in our church life. There's many a man today who is occupying the pulpit who doesn't believe that this is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I say he has no business there. Who does not believe that Jesus Christ was the virgin-born Son of God. I say he has no right to preach. Because a man who doesn't believe that doesn't have a message. And a man who doesn't have a message is not a minister. And a man who's not a minister has no right preaching. We've detoured God out of our religious life. We have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We've detoured God out of our home life. Here's this tragic element of it all. Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands. I don't do business that way. But just answer for yourself. How many times this last week did your family come together for just 3 minutes of Bible study and prayer? Oh, I know you haven't had time to do it, but you've had time to do everything else you wanted to do. If you want to know what's wrong with America, it's in the home. We have detoured God. We put the skids under God in our homes. That's why we need to build a highway for God. Well, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Psalm 9:17, we read these awesome words. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And every nation that forgets God. America has forgotten God. You know America's destiny. We need in our great nation today to build a highway for God. It is expedient because we've put God on detour in our great country. And we're going to pay for it. There's something else about building a highway for God. Not only is the building a highway for God expedient, but building a highway for God is very explosive. In highway building, there's always destruction before there is construction. The wrecking crew always goes ahead of the working crew. You cannot build a highway over the houses and buildings and trees that are in the way. They must be demolished. Or they must be moved. They must be torn down. I'm saying that highway building for God is very explosive. You cannot build a highway for God over the shanties of carnal lives. We've got to have the Spirit of God operating in us. For after all, the heavenly bulldozer must come in and move out of our lives and out of our homes and out of our churches those things that hinder the building of a highway for God. You can't build a highway over crooked living and sinful, selfish lives, unconfessed sin. There must be an explosive element. There must be a heart cleansing, a house cleaning, a bonfire to burn up the filth and the trash and all the altars that we have built to Baal. There must be a burning up of these if we're going to build a highway for God. Now, highway building, as we said, is always disturbing. A whole lot of people come to church with a do not disturb sign around their neck. They expect the preacher to get up and build a highway for God, but don't disturb me in doing it. Beloved, the Word of God is called fire. The Word of God is called a hammer. The Word of God is called a sword. All three of these elements are very disturbing. If you don't believe it, stick your hand in the fire, or hit your finger with a hammer, or let somebody thrust a sword through you. The Word of God is very disturbing. You see, the gospel, beloved, is dynamite, not a sachet powder. The Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not a lullaby. It's a reveille. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not designed to put men to sleep. It is designed to wake men up. I don't blame some people for not going to church. The preacher gets up and reads off a few poems and reads off a little sermonette and they can just sit there and sleep. Well, they just might as well stay home and sleep. Don't disturb us. Don't move us. Beloved, we need some disturbing in this hour. We've been complacent and satisfied altogether too long. The Bible says, awake thou that sleepest and Christ will give thee life. I believe we need a great awakening in America today. But beloved, we can't have a great awakening without disturbing those who are asleep. The clarion call goes forth. Awake and arise to meet the challenge that is ours. You know what we need in our churches today? We need in our churches today a healthy upheaval. Springtime is soon here and men will be out pruning the trees. That's what the church needs today. We need to cut off some dead limbs. That makes the tree grow. There's nothing more detriment to a vegetable or a tree growing than dead limbs. Beloved, there is nothing more detrimental to a church than dead church members. I'm for pruning this morning. To get the pruning hooks out and rid ourselves of the dead weight so that we might move forward in building a highway for God. We better take off our don't disturb me signs. Too many churches today are resorting to games and giveaways and gimmicks. Can you imagine John the Baptist saying, we're going to give a free camel ride to the one who brings the most down to the Jordan River. I know a lot of churches are operating and they have to give that, listen to this, they give their kids some kind of goodie every time they get on a church bus. And before long, they're going to have to give them something to get them off the bus. That's just the way it works. We must do away with the fun and games and get down to business for God and build a highway for our God. Again, I say we must take off that do not disturb sign. When a highway comes through a community and is built, some people get moved, some get mad, and some get downright mean. You know that same thing happens in the church when we build a highway for God? Some have to move out. Some get mad, some get mean and cantankerous. But John the Baptist just kept on wielding the axe. Chopping down the trees that were in the way of building a highway for God. Whoever heard of building a highway without causing some commotion in the community? We can't build a highway for God without causing some commotion in the church. I've been around the hospital a few days this week and I've watched them wheel them in and wheel them out of the operating room. But I had this sense of satisfaction. Before they went in, most of them were almost out of the picture. By the time they got in and got laid down under those lights and instruments and the needle went in their arm, they were out like that. They never did know the operation went on. But beloved, when the divine surgeon operates, he doesn't use any anesthetic. How can God remove the trouble without disturbing the patient? We are building a highway for God. Away with this idea that Jesus was the meek and mild man from Nazareth. That's not all he was. He went into the temple in Jerusalem and overturned the money tables and made a scourge and literally drove out of the temple the prophet makers. Jesus had an iron strand in him. John the Baptist had an iron strand in him. I pray God that your pastor will always have an iron strand. For we are building a highway for God. Why, Jesus was the most disturbing character who ever lived. He disturbed his brothers. He disturbed his disciples. He disturbed the Pharisees. He disturbed all the religious element of his day. He disturbed King Herod, called him a fox. He disturbed every element of society. And then outside the ancient walls of Jerusalem, he died a violent death of crucifixion. And after 40 days, he went back to the Father. And what do you suppose he did? He sent back the Holy Spirit to keep up the disturbance. The Apostle Paul was quite a disturber himself. He caused an earthquake in Philippi. He caused a riot in Corinth and a revolution in Ephesus. Just because he preached the word of God and built a highway across Asia for the preaching of redeeming grace. We must not say to the preacher, don't disturb me. The highway department doesn't hesitate a bit. Neighbors can stand around and scream and holler, that's my property or those are my trees or what have you. And they just move the bulldozers in and go right on and build. Because they've got orders from headquarters. And beloved, the members of this church can holler and squeal and squirm and do everything else they want to, but I've got orders from headquarters. I'm to preach the word. Woe is unto me if I preach not the word. And after all, you wouldn't want a little pussyfooting preacher anyway that is afraid he was going to offend somebody. Beloved, too many of our preachers are too afraid that they're going to offend somebody. If the word of Almighty God offends you, you ought to be offended. Under the covers this morning while you were still asleep, the warm air moved in from the Gulf and hit the cool air coming down from Canada, and that was a terrible disturbance. Some of our church members just turned over and said, uh-oh, I can't go this morning. But that same thunder, if it's going in the morning, will blow them out of the bed to get down on the job at 7 o'clock. They need disturbing, brother. They need the cover snatched off them. They need the gospel plow rammed to them with all force. We need to build a highway for God. We need to mean business about it. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I do not hesitate to disturb you with the word of God. And I pray that my preaching will so disturb you that you cannot be satisfied to do no more in 1970 than some of you did in 1969. I pray, God, that my preaching will so disturb you that you cannot be comfortable while so many hundreds of thousands of people around the world are uncomfortable. There are 3 billion people in the world today. 2 billion of those are either pagan, atheist, or non-Christians. 2/3 of the world's population. And then you say to me, don't disturb us, preacher. I have to disturb you. I can't let you alone. I pray God my preaching will so disturb you that you cannot be silent as long as there is a word to speak for Jesus. Take off those do not disturb signs. Put on some iron shoes. Get behind the bulldozer and let's build a highway for God. My trumpet call for 1970 and for the decade of the 70s is based on Ezra chapter 6 and verse 1. Woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. I pray God the decade of the 70s will be a decade of disturbances. We are building a highway for God, and we must be disturbed in order to do it. There's a third thing that's necessary about building the highway for God. Building a highway for God is not only expedient and explosive, it is expensive. Millions of dollars are spent every year in laying highway construction because there's so much to do. If we are to build a highway for God, it's going to cost us a great deal because there's so much to do. We must be involved. Now, when Jacob needed water, he didn't pray and ask God to send down an angel with a pick and shovel in his hand. He got out there and started digging wells. When Jesus stood by Lazarus' tomb and raised Lazarus from the dead as only Jesus can do, he said to his disciples, "Take away the stone." Only Jesus can raise the dead, but you and I can take away the stone. We're talking about being involved in this great, expensive, expansive, explosive, expedient building of the highway for God. There must be a filling process. The Bible says that every valley must be filled. Your life and mine must be filled not with a cheap trash and junk, but with the Word of God and prayer. There must not only be a filling process, but there must be a leveling process. Every hill and every mountain shall be brought low. You know when they go out to build a highway what they do? Same thing in building a highway for God. We must be brought low from our pedestal of pride and presumption. There must be also a straightening process. Every crooked place shall be made straight. You know, old Zacchaeus straightened his business out when he met Jesus. You and I have got to be straightened out if we're going to walk God's highway. If we're going to build a highway for somebody else to walk in. Then there must be, beloved, a smoothing process. All the rough places shall be smooth. We've got a lot of rough places on us this morning. A little sore of irritation here. A little reservation at this point. Some problem or some burden or some misunderstanding at this point or that point or the other. Beloved, if we build a highway for God, there must be a smoothing process. And then remember verse 6 says, "And all flesh shall see the glory or the salvation of God." When? When there is that filling, leveling, straightening, smoothing in our lives. Christians, I appeal to you this morning. Let your light shine for Christ and yield your life to God because He wants to build a highway of dedication through your life. If you are here without the Savior, my sinner friend, I appeal to you to give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ because God wants to build a highway of salvation in your life. If you don't let God build a highway of salvation, you're going to keep on traveling a highway of damnation. There aren't but two ways. One leads to life and one leads to death. One leads up and one leads down. One leads to heaven and the other leads to hell. Well, I know that hell's not a popular subject anymore. We've all but air-conditioned it. But the Bible says in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. Last Saturday night as we were driving into Pasadena from the airport in Houston, we heard this grinding noise and a cloud of smoke and dust. And I looked back to my left and a car just literally was going through the air and across a ravine and to the other side. And immediately the flames burst all around the car. And I said to the young man who was driving, "Stop! Let's go back." And so he applied the brakes and we stopped and got out as soon as we could and crossed a double highway and ran and jumped toward that car to help pull out three people who were on fire. And the driver was trapped in the car. We went around to the other side, but by the time we got there, the car was completely engulfed in flames. And a 21-year-old boy was crying, "Please, somebody, get me out of here!" And we had to stand 10 feet from a burning car to watch a 21-year-old boy die in flames. I pray God I shall never experience that again. There we were with two good hands and two good feet and plenty of strength, but we couldn't get to him. It was too late, too late, too late. And I thought as I walked back to my car, how many helpless, doomed, damned souls in hell are crying, "Somebody, please get me out." But it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. It is now or never. God speaks to you now. You best move now. We're building a highway for God to snatch men from the burning of hell. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, as we pause before Thee in the close of this worship service, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would speak to the hearts of men and women and young people here today. Help us to be disturbed about this matter. Help us to take off all of our do not disturb signs. Get on the bulldozer and dig for Jesus. Disturb our neighbors. Disturb the people we work with because we've been disturbed ourselves. Dear God, I pray, save those who may be lost in this congregation today. And for this vast host of church members, dear God, I pray that the preaching of the word by the Holy Spirit would disturb their hearts. Don't let them rest. Don't let them be complacent and satisfied. Move them in one direction or another. Don't let us be satisfied. Don't let us stand in the way. May the bulldozer of the Spirit so disturb us that we'd get busy building this highway, the highway to heaven, to bring men to Christ. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Just before the choir sings, I'm going to ask that you remain in the congregation in prayer with your heads bowed. Perhaps you're out there today and you'd say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm lost." Let me speak to you a moment. There's no way out for you but through Jesus Christ. If you're out there today and you'd say, "Preacher, I have been saved. I was saved in my home or saved here or there, but I've never made a public confirmation of my faith. I've never publicly stepped out to confess that I am a Christian and unite with the church." Let me say this to you today. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words in this generation, of him I will be ashamed before the Father and the angels in heaven. But he that confesseth me before this generation, him will I confess before my Father and the angels in heaven. You're here today as a member of Worth Baptist or some other church, and you feel that God is speaking to you, and you've been disturbed this morning, and you want to do something about it. You want to come for a word of prayer about this altar and pray that God will keep you disturbed and keep you on the move for him. I want you to come. If you're out there this morning and you are not a member of Worth Baptist, you'd like to become a member by baptism from another denomination or by transfer of your letter from another Baptist church, I want you to come today. While the choir sings and while you remain with your heads bowed, who'll be first to